98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
Here they are, the top stories of the day. Every day at 4 o'clock, we call it the 4 o'clock reset here on the Burns and Gambo show. We start with news that running back James Conner, formerly of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and a name that Gambo's been talking about for a couple of weeks now as a guy the Cardinals would at least consider at the running back position. He's in, visiting with the Cardinals. Here's Mark Cabali from The Athletic. He covers the Steelers every day. He was a guest on the Bickley and Murata show.
Well, if you're expecting a guy to be a workhorse running back and a guy that's going to be able to give you 25, 30 carries a game, you're not thinking of the right guy. The problem what he had in Pittsburgh over the 4 years he was here was he's injury prone.
True. But is that really what we're or they're expecting out of James Conner if they were to sign him? Likely not.
No, I mean, it's a veteran minimum deal, so you're not going to get burned by it. It's not like you're giving a guy a 2-3-4 year contract for any money with guarantee. It's going to be very much, I expect it to be a minimum deal if they get him. I mean, that's part of the reason why he's going to get a minimum deal. His availability has been questioned. But when he plays, he's a tough, hard-nosed runner that could go get you that tough yard when you need it.
Yeah, and I certainly don't think the Cardinals would be looking at him as a guy who's going to touch the ball 250 times and who's going to be their lead running back. That is not the intention. I would assume that is not the intention of this. That's not what they're looking at him at. So to look at him in that vein through those kind of lenses, I think is a mistake when it comes to James Conner. We'll see. We'll see if they sign him to a deal before he leaves or if he is allowed to leave. We'll see how that works out. Sticking with the NFL, after 12 years with the New England Patriots, wide receiver Julian Edelman has announced his retirement.
Such a great player. I mean, such a great player. He was just always open. I mean, I think about player. Name a player that's always open. Julian Edelman.
He was always open.
Wide open all the time.
Yeah, he sent out a statement. Nothing in my career has come easy. This isn't going to be easy either. I've always said I'm going until the wheels fall off, and they finally have fallen off. He's just done. 3 Super Bowl rings, a Super Bowl MVP, and he retires with a very special, unique place in Patriots history. And no, he's not going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. There were some people who were speculating on that earlier. It sounds like he is retired. No deals for the Coyotes today before the NHL trade deadline. It came and went at noon today.
Yeah, there were two guys that got the Coyotes were asked a lot about. One was Alex Goligoski, and the other was Connor Garland. There was no interest in Antti Raanta because he's always hurt and he's still owed like $4 million. But the bad news comes, and what I'm reporting is that Darcy Kuemper has had some setbacks. He is not on schedule to return anytime soon, so they're going to have to continue to go with Aiden Hill, who they're just running into the ground right now.
Coyotes have lost 3 straight games. They're at the Avalanche tonight. Also, the Coyotes have announced today they will be expanding the capacity of Gila
Good
River
news.
Arena to 50%.
Let's go!
Beginning on April 17th.
Let's go!
On April 17th, they will have 7 home games left this season.
Get the fans in the stadiums. Let's go.
According to a report from Bruce Pasco of the Arizona Daily Star, Arkansas head coach Eric Musselman has generated some interest from U of A for their vacant men's basketball head coaching job, and the search might be on pause for a little bit until they can explore what it might take to get Musselman out of
it's
Arkansas.
It's a buyout, right?
Yes.
Isn't there a buyout worth a lot of money?
2.5, I believe, when it's all
said.
Well,
that's what you made from the NCAA tournament. There you go. The NCAA tournament, they made $2.5 million.
Yeah, he's generating it. Arizona has already reportedly interviewed Gonzaga assistant Tommy Lloyd, Damon Stoudemire, the Pacific coach, Lakers assistant Miles Simon. Pasco wrote, quote, "The delay in the hiring process suggests U of A is still looking at additional candidates. It's unknown if the delay will affect Lloyd's interest in the job. But there is some speculation that maybe Musselman is generating interest in that job."
Couldn't they go to all the U of A players that are playing right now and just say, look, I need $2.5 million between the 15 guys in the NBA?
You would think so.
Yeah. Hey, Laurie. Laurie, mark it in. Kick it 150.
I would imagine
Aaron
that would
Gordon.
Not be a hard buyout for them to raise.
Right? A little bit of money.
Yeah, I would
TJ.
Think so, too.
No, TJ loves Sean. The problem is some of those guys love Sean Miller.
Yeah, that's true. But our top story of the day today is the Arizona Diamondbacks and their pitching rotation that they found over the weekend.
And now the pitch is hit to right, and there is Pavin Smith under it. He's got it side retired. So a one-hitter through 7 innings, 7 shutout innings for Luke Weaver. And if his afternoon has come to an end, what a day it was for him on the mound. And you hear the fans, Luke, as he heads to the dugout.
That was a super cool moment yesterday. It was a super cool moment for Riley Smith on Saturday, and it might be a super cool moment tomorrow for the Diamondbacks. Zach Gallen is getting the start against the A's.
I was going to make sure I checked all the boxes with the medical team all the way up until a couple minutes ago. So Zach Gallen will be our starting pitcher tomorrow. I know you guys want to know what the corresponding move is going to be. We don't know that yet.
I don't know that move yet either. I'll try to find out. But I do know that they are looking at, and they haven't determined it. It's not finalized. But a pitch count somewhere between 75 to 85 is where they'll shut him down.
Okay.
Depending on where they are in the inning and everything, they don't want to exceed 85, but they're willing to go up to 75, and there's a little wiggle room there depending on facing the batter and stuff. So I would imagine that his pitch count will be somewhere in that 75 to 85 range, but they do not want to exceed that.
Yeah, Torrey had said we are not, you know, we'll talk about the limits that he's going to be on. He will not exceed it, but what it means to have Zach Gallen back.
It's obvious what he means to this team and this rotation. And he is, coming off an unbelievable 2020 where he continued to grow and learn and then took that into the offseason. We saw that. Saw the same things take place at the start of spring training, and we all know what he means to this ball club, and it's a welcome addition, as was Nick Ahmed, as was Cole Calhoun, and we're a good baseball team that keeps getting better with the return of all these injured players.
It's 100%. I mean, you get Gallen, and that was the one saving grace to all the injuries. Mm-hmm. Is that none of them were like
catastrophic?
Yeah, you were going to get Gallen back. He missed a couple of starts. You were going to get Cole back. You're going to get Nick back. Cattell went down.
We haven't heard much about Cattell, have we? Have we heard anything, like long-term, short-term about him? I didn't mean to cut you off, but
I'll try to find out.
But yeah, I mean, you don't need to try to find out now, but just kind of curious. It's been kind of quiet. Jordan, did you hear anything? Was there any stuff that made news about Cattell over the weekend? I don't recall seeing anything at all.
They put him on the IL, the 10-day IL.
Yeah.
So they put him on that list, and I don't think we've heard anything with the, that type of injury could be weeks. I don't think it's not months, but, 2 to 3 weeks. It could be 10 days. I said maybe it'd be good if we come back in 10 days, but sometimes that's hard to come back from that in 10 days.
But, okay, so not knowing about him yet, the broader point of what you were saying is absolutely correct. Zach Gallen, Nick Ahmed, Cole Calhoun,
yep.
None of these injuries were considered to be long-term, catastrophic. Oh, my God, they're going to be out for – we feared Zach Gallen's was going to be, and you kind of reported early on, suggested earlier on that you had heard it wasn't going to be as bad as everybody thought.
Right.
Look, and this kind of paints this picture. Not that everything's all – rosy for the Diamondbacks, but they won 2 of 3 from a team coming in here with one of the best records in baseball, the best record in baseball. They shut them down real good. They got great starts out of their rotation from 2 of their 3 guys. Widener was just okay on Friday night, but Riley Smith pitched well. Luke Weaver pitched fantastic yesterday with that no-hitter that he took into the 7th inning, and they're getting Zach Gallen back. Maybe things can start to turn to this team that will make it feel not as bad as it did the first 7 games of the year. Because the first, we joked about it, but you and I were both at the game on Friday night. Man, there was a moment in the 6th inning of that game where you're watching it thinking, man, this team's just not going to be any good this year.
Couldn't get a hit. It was just, they were down. It was just, it was a bad game. I mean, then all of a sudden the bats came alive and they forced extra innings and they lose in extra innings. But, at least there was some life. And maybe that was what carried over to the next 2 days. But they got a good combination of offense, and they got a good combination of starting pitching, and it worked for them, and they won those games. Now they get Bob Melvin and the A's coming to town. A's got off to a slow start. Chapman's not playing very well. That's a team that can mash some home runs, and got Madison Bumgarner on the mound tonight.
James Conner is visiting the Cardinals. He's considered to be one of the top remaining free agent running backs. If he were to sign in Arizona, would the combination of Conner and Chase Edmonds be enough for the Cardinals to succeed at that position? We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Four o'clock hour, Burns and Gambo Show, 4:17 to be exact in the afternoon on this Monday. Hope everybody out there had a great weekend. We appreciate you hanging out with us. Thanks for letting us keep you company on this Monday afternoon. The Arizona Cardinals, the NFL draft 2.5 weeks away. We had wondered openly if they would sign another free agent between now and the start of the drafts, given how that might kind of impact the compensation picks, right? The formula sure. they use. A lot of teams at this point tend to just kind of wait until after the draft before they sign guys, because they, you know, the Cardinals right now, as it stands, most believe we'll get three extra picks this time a year from now. I think a fifth rounder and two seventh rounders, if I remember right.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with that if you could. But the other thing is, you also don't want to lose the guy,
right?
You know, for a seventh round pick. I don't know. I don't know if that would, if they would lose any compensation or not by signing him. I don't know.
I'm not sure how. And the guy we're talking about is James Conner, the Pittsburgh Steelers running back, who, when healthy, is very productive. Had a breakout year in 2018 in which he put up some unbelievable numbers and became not exactly a household name, but certainly a lot of people knew who James Conner was, given his story and what he was doing for the Steelers, filling in for Lev Bell. He's a free agent. He is currently available. There are still running backs out there who are available. And according to a report from Jay Glazer, he's visiting with the Cardinals now. Or had, or is about to visit with the Cardinals. Now, he's a name, and I saw Gambo tweeted, you tweeted about this morning, that you had mentioned before that of all the guys that are left, this is kind of the guy, right? This is kind of the guy that would appeal to them. So now that he's in town for a visit, I do wonder if they will let him leave.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people were intrigued by them not signing a running back, you know, and okay, they, you know, they have guys. I mean, they do like Eno Benjamin, and they've got who's the other back?
Jonathan Ward,
who's a good player. So they have some guys that are backing up, but they don't have the experience and the bruiser that they really want. Ward's more of a bruiser than Eno, but you know, both of those guys could get opportunities. I know they do like Eno Benjamin. They really do like Eno, and he may get more of a fair shake this year than he did in previous years. There was also the thought that, you know, would they draft a Travis Etienne, or the would they draft a Najee Harris? Would they draft one of those guys if they were in the position to? You know, even though it's probably not guys that get to the second contract, those are guys that can help you now.
Yeah.
So those guys, like I've said all along, I'm not ruling out either one of those running backs. I'm not. I'll rule out like the Miami pass rushers and some, but I'm not going to rule out those running backs, because the way I'm looking at it, Smith is gone, Waddle's gone, and Chase is gone. That's your three wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have probably two of the top tackles gone, and the two top corners, I think, are both going to be gone. I think Surtain and Horn are gone. So now you start to get into it. Okay, do you trust Farley? I don't think they do. I don't know that. I think a lot of teams may be leery on drafting Farley because of the back injuries, even though apparently he checked out okay.
Yeah, I think his agent and Farley are trying to put out him. No, yeah. No, he's fine. He's fine. Everything's going to be fine, because they might be starting to sense that he's slipping down some boards because of the concerns and things like that. But you're right. The Cardinals might be in this position. Not that they have to punt. They're not punting, but they might have to recalibrate what it is they're looking for out of their first-round pick. And they might have to say, okay, if the two cornerbacks we love are gone, and if the wide receivers we love are gone, what else do we want to do? Who else there do we like? That, you know, and this is where the quarterback thing becomes so crucial. The hope for the Cardinals would be that all five of those guys go before the Cardinals pick at number 16, so it pushes those players back to them at number 16. But then if they sign James Conner,
I don't think it takes you away from
drafting a running
one
back.
Of those guys.
You don't think so?
No, because I think Conner's a one-year guy. If you draft one of those running backs, you're hoping that they have for 4 or 5 years. You're hoping. Conner's a one-year stop, and then he's also been injured, so...
Yeah,
no, I don't think it would prevent you. Like, you don't know if you're going to get one of those running back. I don't think that signing Conner has anything to do. If the top rated player on their board's a running back when they're picking, they might take a running back.
You think so? See, I
just think that, like I said, I think the top wide receivers are gone, and if the two top corners are gone. No, I do think that, and I threw this name out there last week. I think that they could take the guard from USC at 16.
Elijah Vera Tucker.
I think that is a really intriguing name. Elijah Vera Tucker at 16 could be. Now, they could take him over a running back. I mean, if there's a running back on the board and him, I think they go with Vera Tucker.
You think so?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I do.
Huh. Okay. That's okay. Because for me, if you're signing James Conner, here's how I look at it. Because we kind of look at things differently with the running back spot. If I'm going to draft a running back in the first round, okay, then I'm basically saying my goal is to use that guy, overuse that guy for four or five years, and then never bring him back for a second contract. Why would I want to waste one of those years while I've got James Conner on the roster too, right? Like, I'm drafting a running back to use the hell out of him for 4 or 5 years. I'm not giving one of those years away by signing James Conner. That's just how I would look at it. So
how many guys get signed and then cut? You could sign James Conner and cut him.
Oh, sure you could.
You're not going to give him any guaranteed money.
No.
Give him a contract with no guaranteed money.
And you're right. He probably wouldn't have a whole lot of guaranteed money in the contract. And if you draft a guy and he comes in, you go, oh, my God. It's just
– sure.
And then the conversation we had last week.
I'll give you $50,000 guaranteed to sign. Here you go.
Sure.
You make $50,000 and you cut him.
And the conversation we had last week is like, is that really what you want to do? Like, first, to your point, Elijah Vera Tucker, if he's that good – he's a guy that you would sign to a second contract. He's a guy who, if it works out, could have an 8, 9, 10-year career
right.
With the Cardinals. Najee Harris is not having an 8, 9, or 10-year career with the Cardinals. Travis Etienne is not having an 8-year career with the Arizona Cardinals.
Look, I'll say it now. I think if the top three receivers are gone and the top tackles are gone and the top two corners are gone, I think Vera Tucker is a real good option for them at 16. I think that could be the guy.
I have an Elijah Vera Tucker draft profile. I play it for you?
Let's go.
Well, let's do this.
Elijah Vera Tucker, guard,
your guest,
USC.
Sarah.
He's what you want out of your lineman. Wide, thick, burly, and with good upper body and core strength. He consistently will place his hands correctly on the block, and they're strong enough to prevent the interior rush. Vera Tucker plays under control and has the versatility to be moved to the outside if needed and do it successfully. The knock on him would be his footwork and what happens if his hands get pushed away. But if the defense couldn't get past him the first time, good luck the second time. NFL comp, Giants guard Will Hernandez.
I like that game, though. We'll play that game from here on out.
Yeah.
Was it Sarah or Maloney who voiced it?
Or Mitch.
Oh, that's right.
Mitch has a couple.
I heard a Mitch one. Yeah.
I heard a Mitch one, too. This is actually a little inside baseball here. That is the first time I've heard any of my profiles played. I'm like, I put some work in, people. Play them.
I think we've played one of yours before.
Maybe I wasn't in the booth or I was not here or something.
I'm pretty sure we have.
Have we played Najee Harris profile yet?
I don't think so, no.
All right, let's take a guess. Don't say anything, Sarah.
Okay.
Who do you got?
Are we going to play it now?
Yeah, we'll go. Who's your pick?
I'm going to go with Sarah.
I'll go with Mitch.
Najee Harris, running back, Alabama.
Harris has always had the size of a bruising running back, but the 2020 season showed that he also has the creativity and elusiveness to complement his physical running style.
Maloney.
Although he is missing the breakaway speed of other backs, his abilities as an option out of the backfield, along with his pass blocking, makes him a true three-down back. Harris's punishing style might shorten his career, but his toughness and skills should be an immediate upgrade for any team. NFL comp, former Rams and Falcons running back, Steven Jackson.
Oh, we'll go one more?
No, we're late for a break.
Trust me.
Trust me. We've got 2.5 weeks before the draft. We're going to play the almighty living you-know-what out of these things.
Keep reckoning on who we can guess.
We will be able to... The question is, will it become like that memory game where we're going to be able to remember?
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, we're going to remember.
The D-backs game with the cards.
Yeah, the D-backs game with the cards, right?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, and I know we're late for a break, man, the Chase Field fans are brutal to people when they play that game.
Yes.
Did you notice that with the memory card game? Like, if they can't remember that 2 and 11 are both the purple and teal logo, the 20,000
they should be booed for that, though.
Oh, my God. They just are brutal on that poor guy.
Terrible.
I'm perfect, and you're not.
It's always good when somebody's doing something like that and they fail, because then you
realize
have some
that
fun
they're
booing them. Yeah,
exactly. Hey, there's like blame that person.
Common guy, you know, who lives in Avondale. We're gonna boo him. He doesn't make $15 million a year being a baseball player. He's some dude who's making $15 an hour, and we're gonna boo him because he didn't remember the 2 and 11 was the purple and teal D-backs logo. It was just a week ago today. The Suns struggled through a hard-fought win over the Rockets. Coming off a dominating win over the weekend, can the Suns handle Houston easier tonight? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show. All right, let's get an update on our Twitter poll question of the day. We were playing our little draft profile game, and got a little behind on things. So let's get to Sarah and see what our Twitter poll question of the day is here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update, presented by Sanderson Ford.
Are the Phoenix Suns the best team in the NBA right now today? That is the source of today's question, yes?
Yeah, that's right. So NBA.com has the Suns sitting at the very top of the league in their latest power rankings. So the question is, do you believe the Phoenix Suns deserve that top spot in the power rankings, yes or no?
I don't think they're the best team in the NBA right now, so I would say no.
No.
I can understand the rationale for putting them there, but no. I don't think they're the very best team in the NBA. They're close.
Yeah.
It's top three, top four. If it's not,
listen, a lot of people could stake claim to that.
Sure.
Yeah.
The Nets could stake claim, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Jazz, the Nuggets.
Yeah.
I don't know about Milwaukee and Philly, maybe.
I don't know if the Lakers could right now, but I think the Nuggets could, the Clippers could, the Jazz could, and the Suns could. And the Nets probably could, too. I think one of those five
That's
teams.
That's what's fun about this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of wide
open.
It's
not a preordained winner.
No, I just don't know. I mean, I could probably pick, I can name that tune in. I think if I was given three teams, I could pick some who's going to win it with three.
Mm-hmm.
If you were just given three selections,
given
you could say one of these
picks,
three is going to win the championship.
I think I could win it. Hmm. I'd start with Nets and Lakers, and then I would add one more, and I'd feel good that I would get it right.
Okay.
If you said enough, it was just two, I would say Nets or Lakers. I'd still feel like if it's the Nets and the Lakers, then not that this was a mirage, but if it's the Nets and the Lakers, not, did we get fooled into believing that these other teams had a chance?
Not necessarily. If the Suns take the Lakers to seven games in the Western Conference Finals, I don't think anybody got fooled with anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Suns would have played a hell of a series against them or Utah or whomever else. All right, what are the results so far about this NBA.com power ranking?
Yes. Do the Suns deserve the top spot, yes or no? Yes gets 57% of the vote. No gets 43%.
Okay, so we're hanging steady.
Pretty close.
And if you vote on it on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page, we're also, you know, if you have a chance in the reply part of it, you know, maybe mention why you're a yes, why
yes.
you're a no.
Drop it in there.
Drop it in there. And Sarah, as she always does a great job managing our Twitter account here while we're on the air, at Burns and Gambo, one word is where you can find that. Now, the Suns. Suns are coming off a big blowout win against the Washington Wizards on Saturday night, a game that was close for the entire duration of the first half. And then in the third quarter, it was an absolute blitzkrieg by Phoenix over Washington. And it was mostly Devin Booker. There were certainly other contributions. DeAndre Ayton was key in the middle
When's
of that
When's the last
as well.
Time we complained about DeAndre Ayton? So, honest question. When's the last time people complained about it's been a while.
It's been a while.
Since we've heard anybody complain about DeAndre.
Yeah,
he's been good.
He's been really no,
he's been really
he's
good.
He's been really good. He's been to the point where I'm only expressing my frustration with him during a game, maybe like once or twice, you know, where he'll fumble a ball or the hands or something like that. But for the most part, he's been steady, he's been solid, he's played with high energy. He's attacking the basket. He's doing the things. There was a moment in the Washington game where, like, early in the game, he got the ball in really good post position, and he waited too long, and he kicked it back out, and Eddie kind of got on him a little bit during the game. You remember that?
Of course, yeah.
Then later, it happened again, and he stayed with it, and DeAndre Ayton kind of reestablished himself and made an aggressive move up rather than quitting on the play and kicking it back out, and he got praise for it. That's the kind of growth moments that we're looking for. And the Wizards, not a very good team. And tonight, another not very good team comes to town in the Houston Rockets, a team that this time a week ago, 1 week ago tonight, Suns played the Rockets. They were expected to blow them out. It was a game from beginning to end. It was far too close. It was one of those typical. We've seen this so many times out of the Suns, right? Where they get to the 12, 14, 16-point lead somewhere in the middle of the third quarter.
And then
quarter,
they give it up.
And then they give it up, and they're playing for their lives in the fourth.
That didn't happen.
Did
against Washington.
It didn't happen against Washington. Have, you know, is tonight sort of a referendum on whether the Suns have figured that out or not?
I don't know. The over-under on points is probably 130. I mean, the Rockets give up a lot of points. They have no defense. They've allowed 118 or more points in seven of the last eight games. They just give up a lot of points. I mean, this is, you know, this is a team that had a 20-game losing streak.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, they're not an NBA team. You know, they're just not that good. Now, even with that said, the Suns have had their struggles with them. I mean, because some of the veteran guys are playing harder and playing tougher, and you know they're trying to earn a job for next year. So I don't know. I would imagine that the Suns have learned some of their lessons. I like the way, you know, they lost by 20 to the Wizards, and then they beat them by almost 30. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's the growing right there. Well, the Rockets, the last time through, tough game, and, you know, maybe now they'll be able to, you know, put this team away. And then again, as we get down to these final 20 games, I think you're going to see a lot of guys fighting for those jobs, for those playoff minutes, too. And I think that could benefit the Suns. A lot of these guys, you know, the backups that are coming in are going to fight for those
minutes. You're talking about on the Suns now?
On the Suns. Yeah, on the Suns. I think these guys are going to fight for their minutes to, you know, play as hard as they can so they can earn those minutes in the playoffs. This is just another one of those games. Look, the Suns will win this game tonight. They'll find a way to win somehow. They might blow them out or might be a close – I don't know. But I just – you don't expect the Suns to lose these games anymore. You just don't expect that they're going to lose to a team like
no,
this.
No, you don't. And hopefully it's not one of those games where there's – you know, it was really nice on Saturday to be able to see Devin Booker get that rest, Chris Paul get that rest. Booker didn't play at all in the fourth quarter. I think Paul played
Aiton
like a
didn't
minute
play.
Or two. Aiton didn't play in the
Paul
fourth.
Paul did play a few minutes in that quarter. I thought that was odd because Aiton didn't play and Booker didn't play. But Paul played a few minutes.
He played like the first. He always plays the first couple minutes
with
of the
those,
fourth
with
the bench.
Bench guys,
and I think after a couple of minutes, they realized that there wasn't going to be that kind of threat that the Wizards were going to mount any kind of challenge, and so they pulled him and they just rode with the bench players for a while. I'll tell you what, Devin Booker, for all the extraordinary we've seen out of him this year, and there's been some extraordinary. Those two bounce passes that he had to Mikal Bridges were just. I never do this. I never, because I watched the game, I recorded it on the DVR, and I watched it on Sunday morning. So I didn't watch it live on Saturday night. I watched it Sunday morning. Man, I went back and watched it like three or four times. I just rewound. Wow. Rewound it.
Well,
wow.
I did the same thing. You know why? Because I wanted to see how the play started.
Yeah.
And it was DeAndre Ayton. He was defending Westbrook, put his hands up. Westbrook missed the shot. Gafford grabs the rebound. He goes up. DeAndre blocks the shot, grabs the ball, passes it to Book, bounce pass to Mikal. But I went back because I wanted to see how that play started. It started with two great plays by DeAndre Ayton.
But then for Booker to do it again
to
Mikal Bridges. And both Booker and Bridges agreed the first one was the better
one. The
first one was the first one. He was like three quarters length of the court bounce pass.
Right.
It's unbelievable. It was like, wow.
There's no truth to the rumors that the Cardinals will select Mikal Bridges in the second round to play wide receiver for
good
them.
Good hands with that length, too.
With that length.
His catch radius as a receiver in the NFL.
I mean, we talk about Kyler Murray playing two sports. I mean, if Mikal wants to play on some Sundays at wide receiver.
Did you see that video that Kyler tweeted out, by the way, of him draining Jays? He's like, okay, what's up, Suns? Here I come.
I saw the video. I didn't play the video.
Yeah, I played the video. He nails like two or three three-pointers, and he tweeted at the Suns like, okay, man, whenever you want me, here I am.
Chris Paul even talked about it today.
Did he?
Yeah, I did see it. They're going to let him come. We let him come play here. They let me go play quarterback.
How would that work? How's the arm, Chris?
I played quarterback in high school, so I don't know. Could definitely use some fine tuning.
So yeah, sure, Kyler, you can come on over and play as long as I'm a quarterback. That's fine. We'll just switch. We'll switch for a day or two.
I don't know that Kyler's height would work very well in the NBA.
Probably not.
Something about that.
Probably not. He'd be a small.
Not to say he's that small, but there was Muggsy Bogues.
That's right.
That's true. Spud Webb.
Isaiah Thomas.
There were some smaller guys.
The other one.
There were small guys. Yeah.
So few.
It was only one picture in a social media post, but it adds yet another layer to the mystery of what the future holds for Larry Fitzgerald and the Arizona Cardinals. We'll explain what the picture was and what it might or might not mean next on the Burns and Gambo Show. So I didn't see it, but it was forwarded to us on Twitter, and it came to us from a gentleman named Richard Lopez. Vince was on the tweet. Dan Bickley was on the tweet. Dave Pasch was on the tweet. Wolf, you and I were all on the tweet. And it's a picture of, I believe, Bruce Arians' Instagram account or his foundation's Instagram account, one of the two. and it's promoting his upcoming fundraising golf tournament for the Bruce Arians Foundation.
Yes.
Okay. The picture of the player chosen to promote this event 1 week from now is Larry Fitzgerald.
Oh, well, it must be here in Arizona then, right? Scottsdale or Gilbert? Or where's the golf tournament at? Which course here in the Valley?
Florida.
It's in Florida.
Florida.
Hmm. And he's using Fitz to promote his golf tournament. Not a Buccaneer player.
Not a Buccaneer player. Not a player that he just won a Super Bowl with.
God,
not a Super
one
Bowl
of these.
Ring. Super Bowl.
Another one of these. Do you read between the lines? Or is this just somebody screwing around? Or is it just like, hey, it's... I just don't know what to... Like, here we are. Okay, we're all out, right? We're all out of game. We're like, everybody's past there. When's Fitz going to retire?
Was Jordan's last Monday, right?
Yeah.
So we can do another round of...
Yeah, let's play the game
let's
again.
Let's do it. I like this.
Let's play the feud. Here we
but
go.
But we can't go, like, 3 weeks out. Like, you know. It's
Why
be within...
can't we?
Because then you could, cause then we can't play again.
But then that person could be right. You can go 3 weeks out if you want.
Yeah, but,
then
we, got to wait 3 weeks before we can.
It's all the same at this point. Time is a flat circle. Yeah. We'll never hear from Fitz.
I'm putting a limit on 2 weeks. Can't go any further than 2 weeks.
The commissioner of guess Fitz's retirement or not.
The commissioner of guess Fitz's. Well, at this point, okay, so. What are we guessing? Are we
what
guessing?
Day?
Are we guessing a no? Are we guessing a no, date? What? Are we guessing? Did I tell you all real quick? By the way, since it's just the four of us talking here,
sure.
I had a dream last night that Larry Fitzgerald
friends listening right now. Okay, go ahead.
I had a dream last night that Larry Fitzgerald signed a 5-year contract with the Arizona Cardinals.
What?
Seriously?
That was your dream.
That was my dream. It was my dream, and this was just a dream. Jordan played the breaking news sounder. And you did your Larry thing.
Larry!
Right? Every time we play the breaking news sounder, we just assume it's about Larry. We're like on total guard. And so we looked at Jordan, and we said, is this about Fitz? And he said, yes, it is. And I said, oh, okay. Is it that he's retired? Is it that it's the Bucs? He said, nope and nope. We're like, he's coming back to the Cardinals? And Jordan said, yes, on a 5-year contract.
Larry! Larry!
That was the dream,
that was your dream.
I had last night.
Usually it's about Ginger, right? From Gilligan's Island?
No, I don't dream about
you're
Ginger.
You're on a 3-hour tour with Ginger,
probably,
and there's no captain or Gilligan. It's just you and Ginger.
Okay, first of all, I'm a Marianne guy.
You know that.
First of all, I'm a Marianne guy.
You love redheads.
I do love redheads, but I'm a Marianne
Ginger's
guy.
Ginger's like one of the top redheads of all time.
I know. It's a weird paradox, it doesn't make any sense at all. It doesn't make any sense at all. But no, I was not dreaming about Ginger or Marianne or the professor or Mr. and Mrs. Howell.
No, they weren't there. It was just Ginger and Marianne.
I was dreaming about a 5-year contract extension that Larry Fitzgerald got with the Arizona Cardinals, which clearly is not going to happen. So I just wanted to share that with
I would go 5 days from now. That was the little subliminal. You should pick Friday. Friday is 5 days. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That's the number five. You got to read between the lines there. Your dream is telling you something with the number five.
That's when the tourney or the golf event is?
The tourney is this weekend, which makes me think he won't do it until after the tourney, because then he would be getting bombarded with stuff during the tournament.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just get it over with right there.
Jordan's right. I mean, if he's going to go to a tournament in Florida, and by the way, just for the record, before you think that, and I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus here, this isn't just like us kind of wondering about this. I was looking at Mike Jarecki's Twitter account, like the ultimate Cardinals insider, works for
The Mike Jarecki.
Don't tell Mike Jarecki. Tell me Mike Jarecki, right? Even he tweeted.
One of the great people in this business.
How weird it is that Fitz is playing in Bruce's golf tournament, that they're promoting,
that he's being used as the poster boy for it.
Bruce is just screwing with people.
But I mean, Fitz agreed to it.
They're just screwing with us.
Well, but also, do you think that was Bruce Arians who signed off on the photo for the social media post? He probably has no idea that there's even an Instagram account for his foundation.
Hey, baby, here's what we're going to do, baby. We're going to get everyone back there in Arizona thinking you're coming here. So here's what we're going to do, baby. Yeah.
Hey, here's my social strategy, baby. I'll give you the analytics later, baby.
I'm going to pour you some Crown on the Rocks, and we're going to put your picture right there on my Instagram. Here we go, baby. Let's go. Sorry, I don't do the BA as well as Bickley does. But all right, so are we playing your game now? Or are we doing
let's go,
a 2-week
2 weeks
maximum?
Yeah. Yep.
So nobody can pick What's today? The
12th?
12?
2 weeks from now, because I want to play again.
Okay, so nobody can pick any later than April 26th.
Which is 2 Mondays.
When will we find out about Larry Fitzgerald? Sarah will be gentleman here, ladies first.
Thank you. I'll take the latest day I can. I'm taking the 26th.
April 26th.
That's a Friday?
No, that's a Monday.
Monday.
That's two Mondays from today. From now.
2 weeks from today. Monday,
oh, no, April you 3rd. Can't go into that week.
You said 2 weeks.
You said two
this
weeks.
Week and next week. You can't go into that Monday.
So many rules.
No, because Monday.
Seriously, this is a very.
You can't pick a day that starts with T, Sarah.
You can't.
You got Monday through Sunday and then Sunday through Sunday. On Monday, we start again.
So you can take the 25th.
I can't give you that
so
Monday.
I can take
because
Sunday the 25th.
So Sunday the 25th. Yeah. So she's taking Sunday the 25th.
Okay. Okay, no. I will take Friday the 23rd then.
Okay.
Jordan?
I'm going to take the 20th, a week from tomorrow.
What
because
day is
the
that?
Golf tournament, that's a Tuesday. But the golf tournament is the 18th and 19th. So it would be the day after the golf tournament.
Smart.
I'm going to take, you said the golf tournament is the 18th and the 19th?
Yeah, from what I'm looking
at
here.
Sunday, Monday?
18th, day of the golf tournament.
The day of it.
Day of the golf tournament.
Bold.
That's a bold strategy, move. Cotton.
Let's man, see if that's good. Jordan, you got what day? Tuesday?
I've got the 20th, yep.
I'll take the Wednesday.
21st?
Yeah.
Okay, so none of us are picking this week. We're all picking next.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've got the 18th.
Day of the golf tournament.
Okay, so I got to write this down. Burnsy, 18th, and yes, I just referred to myself and my own nickname in the third person. That's
the
lame.
Great day, Burns.
I, Burnsy, say the 18th. That's lame.
All right.
Well, that was lame. Who said the 20th? Who had the 20th?
That was me.
All right, Jordan. Gambo, you said the 21st.
Yeah.
And Sarah, you said
23rd.
So I'm on the clock right now.
Yes.
I'm on the, okay.
I hate this game now. It was fun, and now I hate it.
Wait, because of Gambo's rules, or because it's just annoying in general that we've had to wait this long and we're still playing this game?
A little bit of both, but mostly the latter.
I don't mind Gambo's rules. It's fun. It's let's keep it refreshed, but it does. It's like, man, we're still playing this game.
That's exactly. It's
we're
like,
still
man,
we're still doing this.
It's April 12th.
Come
and
on,
we're still
man.
Trying to guess and mind read.
Let's
come
go.
On.
Let's go. Come on. Let's go, Fitz. Let's go while we're young.
Yep.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show. Diamondbacks rotation. It's starting to look a little bit better over the last few games. Now it's Mad Bum's turn. What is he going to bring to the Diamondbacks tonight? We'll talk about this kind of important start for Mad Bum next on the Burns and Gambo Show.